Sox, the Bruins, the Celtics, the Revs, the Sports Hub, the website, 98.5thesportshub.com. For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
With respect to the balls, and that there was obviously an issue with the balls.
I don't think anybody knew there was an issue with the balls.
To me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old, old, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. I choose the balls that I want. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I feel the lace, I feel the leather. I wouldn't want anyone touching the balls. I would zip those things up and lock them away. Some days one ball may feel good, the next day it may not. I want to be very familiar with the equipment that I'm using. This is an ISIS. No one's dying, but this is a very important thing. Because to me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them, you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I grab it, I grip it. To me, those balls are all perfect. Zip those things up, zip those up, and lock them away. To me, those balls are all perfect.
Like I said, I had no... Yeah.
Five of Sports Hub, it's Tutcher and Rich. And Adam Jones in studio this morning, and a trailer out of nowhere was released for the final episode of Tom vs. Time. And it's making a lot of people nervous because he doesn't sound too sure of how much longer he wants to do this. It doesn't sound like he said it's going to be a lot of work. Or it's going to be harder. You know what? It's 20 seconds long. I'll do one more time. Here we go.
I mean, when I look at probably the last 6 months, it's been the first time where I've taken a little break. If I'm going to do something at this point, it's going to be because I enjoy it. It's going to be hard to do. I think it's going to be very hard to do.
Okay, the way that's edited, it sounds like coming back is going to be hard to do. That, to me, and there's some people saying, oh, maybe retiring is what he said. There's nothing in that clip that indicates that's what he means. However, it could be taken out of context. It's 25 seconds. Who knows what it is? However, Deepak Chopra, he is the guy who... Gotham. Deepak is his father. That's right, Gotham Chopra. He is the one who is the producer of this. He's the guy who ultimately puts it all together. However, I have to believe Tom Brady gets final cut on everything. I mean, this is his project. Tom Brady watches every episode, says, take that out, put that in, do whatever you want to do here. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me, but I want this to be, you know, he's the guy who has final say as what eventually gets out to the public. Sports Illustrated did an interview with Gotham Chopra, and this interview was released the exact same time the trailer for Tom vs. Time was. So they knew this was coming out, and they put this out there. Yes, Dan?
Nick just said that Chopra just, within the last minute, tweeted the emoji of the zipper across your mouth, like...
He's done that before, I think.
Yeah, the yellow face emoji with the zipper sort of thing, like, my lips are sealed.
Well, I'm not saying anything. That's not good. I don't like that at all. I'm not a big fan of that. However, after reading this, this kind of sheds a little bit of light as to what we might see tomorrow. So they wrote, after the final episode aired in March, Brady invited Chopra to bring his camera and informally chronicle his trip to Qatar, where Brady and his family traveled for his role as a global ambassador for the Best Buddies charity. Chopra later filmed at UCLA, where Brady continued his regular work with throwing coach Tom House. In late July, they reconvened at Brady's home in Massachusetts for another couch confessional nearly 6 months after the previous one. On the eve of his 19th training camp, Brady puts a timeline on how much longer he wants to keep playing. Okay, so apparently he says in here how much longer he wants to play. Chopra says, quote, I don't want to give it away, but I can at least remove some of the suspense. He said, it's not like he ever says this is his last season or anything like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? But it's not like he says it isn't, because it's not like he ever says this is his last. I mean, he's not saying, he says this isn't his last season. Like, he doesn't say that. He says it's not like he ever says this is his last season or anything like that. Brady has multiple times expressed a desire to play until he's 45, and Chopra says the number Brady gives in the epilogue is consistent with what we've heard from him before, but he'll let Brady speak for himself. One more peek into the quarterback's psyche for millions of viewers. They said, I guess he's going to interact with fans online. Okay, great. Chopra admits that he caught a bit of grief from Brady when he made his own extrapolations about the quarterback's future earlier in the year. In an interview of the former MMQB editor-in-chief's Peter King's podcast in March, Chopra said that he had a hard time envisioning Brady playing for four or five more seasons. Quote, I got myself into trouble because, look, I'm a fan, and sometimes I just sort of theorize. And Tom Brady's like, really? Why'd you say that, G? That's really written down, by the way.
G?
G. What's up, G?
He's referencing the year-to-year thing, right? Because I was just looking this up. Gotham Chopra came out and said he views Brady as year-to-year. Yeah. So that's probably what this is.
And that made him go, really? Why'd you say that, G?
Come on, G.
Mm-hmm. Chopra says, now, one thing I will say is he admits that it's not easy, and he does feel his age, but it's partly what drives him. It's the challenge of it, just how unprecedented it is, not just to play, but to play at a certain level and be part of a team that has this sort of continued success. Chopra has had a rare vantage point for not only one of the most intriguing seasons of Brady's NFL career, but also for an offseason that Brady himself says was different than any other. With Brady's own words raising questions about his future in Foxborough and his relationship with head coach Bill Belichick, the quarterback was in Qatar when the Patriots began their voluntary season offseason workouts and for the first time skipped organized team activities. He attended only what was mandatory, the Patriots' three-day June minicamp. Brady has explained that he has committed this offseason to his family, spending time with, okay, blah, 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 blah. I think we heard the most important, okay. Now that I read this, it just sounds like he's being Mr. Vague Tease guy. And that drives me crazy.
Chopra?
Know. No.
Oh,
Tom Brady.
Oh, got it.
I think this is another one. I don't really know how much longer to do it, but he's going to say, I think I can play till I'm 45.
Well, I think when I was in with Fred, and this was right after the Oprah interview I was in, and I think he said this, and maybe he said this to you guys as well. You know, Brady is using this as like almost the hemming and hawing.
Yeah.
Almost as like a sales pitch for his TB12 method, which I kind of brushed aside at the time. But I don't know. Like, the more I hear him, he's like, well, and I just sent this to myself because I wanted to write this. So he said, it's the first time I've taken a little break, meaning the OTAs. And it's got to be because I enjoy it, the reason I do it. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard to do. Like, I don't know. I wonder if again, this is a way to say, yeah, guys, I'm wrestling with this. Like, I'm sure you would at any age or at any barrier that might be there right in front of you. But if you stick with what I'm doing, you can power through it. You can do it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. But you can do it.
Is now the time to do it, though? The reason is that what if he comes out and he stinks?
So that's a roll of the dice for Brady wanting to get to that age 45 or whatever number it is. That's a roll of the dice, but I think he's done a cost-benefit analysis there and said, hey, if this is really going to grow and we're really going to hit, then I got to do it. I got to bank on myself to get there.
I'm answering my own question. He's not going to stink. I mean, we know that. I mean, he makes this stuff work all the time.
At some point he's going to, though. Is it going to be this year? I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be this year. It probably won't be next year, but at some point, it's happening.
All right, let's go to Tim on line one. What's up, Tim? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. So when this dropped, you know, earlier this year, I think we all assumed all along that Tom was going to beat time. Isn't Father Time undefeated? And also become sort of a, like, less of a fitness guru and more of a self-help guru. And, like, maybe, like, you know, we hear about his family more and more than ever. And I just wonder if this didn't seem planned, or if it was, it was delayed. And I don't know. This reeks of this is my last year.
Well, I mean, you're right. What if time was going to win? Now, did we just let him go? I wanted to ask him whether or not he would have cried as a grown man.
The answer is just yes.
I guarantee you. It's if he does announce some sort of like going away tour, like, you know, is the final lap like David Ortiz did. This is my final season. It's going to be every single game. There's going to be grown men crying.
Oh, it will be terrible.
Did you see any men crying when David Ortiz retired?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
By the way, someone brought up Ortiz. This is probably the biggest one since Ortiz. Ortiz was an obvious one we all missed.
But this is bigger than Ortiz.
It's bigger, but Ortiz is probably the closest thing.
Now, is it going to be surreal, like John Wallach seeing David Ortiz with a Bruins flag in his hand?
I was there when David Ortiz's number was retired. I was at Fenway Park, and you had grown men getting the sniffles, seasonal allergies. Okay. I was there, and that was at the end of the retirement tour.
Sporting events where you've seen grown men cry?
Like outside of like winning championships?
Yeah. No, a championship too. That's fine. Were you seeing
like or like a championship parade or something like that? I've seen plenty of that.
No. At a parade, you've seen people crying?
At the 04 one? Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Crying at the parade?
At the 04 one,
and I know that was huge.
I was there.
But usually you have a couple days to kind of get over that emotional shock.
No, 04 was different.
No one was over anything.
Is that excusable? Because crying after they won in 04, I get that. Like, 04, I totally get that.
04 at the parade.
But the parade.
Ooh. Yep. Excusable.
I'm
with Rich on this.
3 days after the fact.
It was too cold. As Mike Lockhart said, it was too cold to cry.
That was a cold parade. If you got a little dusty when they won in 04, even I'm not going to get on you for that. But at the parade, you've had time to cry it out.
Listen, if you cry like a championship, whatever. I understand it. I get it. It's a little weird. But whatever, I'm not going to have any problem with that. But crying 3 days later at the parade,
a little much.
I can tell you, I saw it. That's all I can tell
you. Did you do it?
No.
Ever cried at a sporting event?
Sporting event?
Yeah.
No.
I think I cried when the Patriots lost to the Packers.
No, never cried. Right. Watching a sporting event? No.
I saw men cry.
That includes 86. The answer is no.
I saw a couple men cry when the Bruins beat the Lightning in Game 7 to go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's not right.
Dude, you have to understand like how insane how emotional that game was.
Do you remember Tampa Bay?
Yeah, Nick has got thumbs up. He saw it too. Now, mostly, as I said, and I've said it before.
No, I mean, when you beat us.
Hold on a second. John, you didn't cry during Game 7 of the Celtics series?
What? Which game?
Whatever play-by-play you did.
Oh, the Milwaukee Bucks game.
And you won't cry on Christmas Day this year if you get the Celtics game?
It was an easy win. If it was a buzzer beater, maybe. They blew him out that night.
That was the loudest sporting event I've ever been to, is when the Bruins beat the Lightning. Because you have to remember...
But that's different than crying at it.
No. There was crying.
I understand it being loud. I don't understand people crying.
Dude, the last 6 minutes of that game were so intense because there was not one penalty called. Remember, it was like a perfect game. There was no penalties called. And I think that the Bruins scored with 6 minutes left. Was that Horton? I think it might have been Horton who scored. I forget who scored that game.
That sounds right.
They won 1-0.
But for six straight minutes.
He sealed it against Montreal and Tampa.
But for six straight minutes, it was just the entire crowd going, please do not score. Like just every time it came into the Bruins' end, people were flipping out. And every time the puck was cleared or they went down to the other end of the ice, everyone went crazy. So you have to understand, that was 6 minutes of people losing their mind.
But that's like the end of most one-goal hockey games.
Oh, but it's different. I mean, I thought it was weird that people were crying, but there were grown men crying. And it wasn't even a Stanley Cup winning game. It was just to get to the Stanley Cup final.
That feels like a lot.
Yeah, it does.
If you tell me people cried when the Bruins won the cup in Vancouver, fine. When they beat the Lightning?
But let's go to... by the way, somebody just said it's not the 25-year-olds or less who will cry because they have no context. It's the old guys 50-plus who will sob because they remember the 70s and 80s Patriots.
And it's coming back.
That's a legitimate point. Yeah. Let's go to Mike. Mike, what's up, man? You are on Toucher and Rich. Mike, number line one.
Michael.
Hey, there you go, Mike. What's up, man?
Hey, I cried when the Bruins won the Stanley Cup in 2011, and I went to the parade, and I didn't start off crying, but I cried at the parade, and it just was like, this is real, because I grew up watching Bruins greats never being able to win the Stanley Cup, Cam Neely, Ray Bourque, all of them. Never got to witness them do it, and then in 2011, those group of guys were able to do it. And then once I got to the parade, I cried again because, like I said, it was real. I mean, I was like feet away from the cup, and I started bawling.
What was the thing that you saw that made it cry?
The Stanley Cup in the air and all of them, screaming, and the players were even crying. And
Jacob's trashing Neely.
Trashing him up on the stage.
Yeah.
Was it when you saw our unworthy asses on one of the duck boats, me and Fred?
Yep.
Somehow we got invited to that. Let's go to Fred on line two. Fred, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, last time I cried was watching an All-Star game. This is going back a bit in the 80s. It was Magic Johnson's last game. He had been diagnosed with HIV. He came back, and he was playing in the All-Star game. It was at the end, and they cleared out, and they're letting the East Coast was playing one-on-one against him. And I just, for some reason, that just got me.
Now,
I
was like, are you a Patriots fan?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to cry when Tom Brady retires?
I may become perplexed.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking, Fred?
I'm 60.
Yeah, yep. You fit the demo, without a doubt. Yeah, I totally get it. There's going to be... How many people at this station are going to cry when Tom Brady goes?
Well, Zoe.
Jim Louth.
Jim Louth will cry.
Jim Murray will cry.
Yeah, possibly Jim Murray. And once again, at his final game, that's going to be nuts. Percentage of men in the crowd that will cry his final game.
Oh, Patriots fans, yeah. Like 80%.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's going to be devastating.
I mean,
for people.
80% might be high, but it's going to feel like 80%.
Yeah, that's going to be nuts. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Have an Amazon smart speaker in your home or office?
What's all that about?
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay.
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We have Adam Jones in studio with us this morning, and this is kind of funny. Speaking of Tom Brady, I've had this theory for a while that, you know, Tom Brady, as great as an athlete he is, and as great as a blow him up here, but he's really bad at being a human being, just because he's been so separated from normal people for the longest time. When you are married to the number one supermodel in the world, who hangs out with princes and princesses and people who own entire countries, and you make as much money as he does, and you go to these like Met Gala, you're kind of separated from the normal human being. I just think he has a bad time acting like a regular person. This is more evidence of this. Lately, you've seen him kind of creeping onto social media and leaving little comments like, you know, posting the video of him at the U2 concert. Look, I'm just a regular guy and I'm singing. And then there was that one of the two rhinos. One was basically had its mouth on the other rhino's rear end. And he was like, all right. He's, I guess, like, this is what normal people
times,
do.
Yeah.
So there was a Instagram post that Randy Moss put up. And so longtime Vikings trainer Fred Zamberletti, he died on Sunday. Okay. And he's a guy that Randy Moss, you know, helped him out throughout all of his years there and was a guy that he obviously liked. So Randy Moss put up a nice tribute to the Vikings trainer who died. And he put, on behalf of all the Purple People Eaters and true Viking fans worldwide, thank you, Mr. Fred Zamberletti. And it's got a picture of him standing there and the trainer's right next to him. And Tom Brady posts underneath it, "You look better in a Pats uniform, 100.
Jesus.
You see, it's a tribute to a guy who died.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a time to kind of like, you know, hey, look at you, you're my man. You know, yeah. This is like, hey, sorry for your loss. You know, wow, I'm sorry. I'm upset that you seemed like a great guy. Not, you look better in a Pats uniform, bro. 100. And it's the 100 emoji, like, yeah, what's up?
He gets a phone call from one of the squadron of men that oversee his accounts. What are you doing? You didn't tell us you were going to go rogue.
Right.
You know, it's just,
as I said, as great as Tom Brady is, he's just bad at being a normal human being. He's not very good at it. And he's just stuff like that. He's trying to figure out this whole social media thing.
He's like your mom on Facebook, is what he's like.
Not like my mom.
He's like a mother on Facebook.
All right, let's go to Dom. Dom on line one. What's up, Dom? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
I'm just speaking from the 26-year-old demographic here. I'm honestly sick to my stomach thinking about losing Tom Brady. I've never known really anything but him. I was about like 9 years old when Tom Brady came around. So the fact that I might lose Tom Brady, I want to throw up right now.
All right. Well, this is just from the tease. When you heard that trailer for Tom versus Time, the final one, what was your feeling?
That's clickbait. They edited it to clickbait. You know Tom Brady's going to play for at least two more seasons. If not, he's kind of a dick for making us give up Jimmy for that.
But do you really know he's going to play for two more seasons?
Well, then why are you going to
roll
up then?
Are you sure?
I don't get it. If you're so sure, why are you feeling sick to your stomach?
He's all I've known my whole life. I have to trust him.
so you say to Tom Brady that...
You are a dick. Yeah.
For putting that out there and being so vague, right?
Yeah.
But I love the guy. He's like my second dad. Like, like I've had a good life, man. I've had a good sports life, man. I know it's like down from here. It's terrifying.
And you realize that there's really nothing that could probably replace it. As good as the Celtics will be, let's say the Celtics win the next three championships. Yeah. Will that replace Tom Brady being gone for you?
No, because I'll never strut around town talking like I'm a Celtics fan, like I do being a Pats fan. Like, you walk into the room as a Pats fan, like, you're the guy. Like, everyone can say what they want to you.
I don't know if we can use that.
Think about that. How devastating will it be if, like, everybody's got these Patriots logos, tattoos all over their body, and what if, like, 5 years from now, having a Patriots tattoo is the equivalent of having a Cleveland Browns tattoo?
Yeah.
Is that it's almost, instead of a mark of honor, and, like, that you're better than everyone else in the bar because you got that tattoo.
Remember the guy who had his head tattooed like a Patriots helmet?
What if all of a sudden you are now the Cleveland Browns, and you got to show that all your entire sleeve that you dedicated to that organization is now in the gutter another time. Can you imagine that? How fortunes will just like turn around? Of course it's going to be devastating. Everyone's going to lose their collective minds because I don't think that too much farther after Tom Brady, if he was to leave, Bill Belichick, do you think that how much longer, let's say Tom Brady said after this year, let's say he wanted to retire, how much longer does Bill Belichick stay?
See, here's the thing, and Jones, I don't know how you feel about this. We kept hearing rumors over the last 3 or 4 years that Belichick sees himself as a guy, and really to prove how much of a genius he is, would stay around another 3 or 4 years just to show everyone it wasn't Brady who contributed to my success. I'm a good head coach, damn it. I mean, I didn't just get lucky with a draft pick. I can do this.
All right, I still believe that. I think Bill outlasts Brady here, yeah.
Well, let's go to line two. You know what? I agree with that 100 emoji. Caleb, what's up, man? That's so fun. I mean, I saw that. And I'm like, well, yeah. If you would have told me, hey, did Tom Brady put that? I'd be like, yeah, of course he did. He's bad at being a normal human being. He's not very good at
someone
it.
Someone died. Keep it 100.
Great athlete, elite, you know, whatever you want to call him. But when it comes to just normal things, I bet if you sent him, like, shopping, I bet if you said, how much is a gallon of milk? He'd be like, oops, I don't know, $85?
$10,000?
Like, yeah. But he would have no idea. We should just have something like Brady doing normal things, mowing the lawn. You know what?
That'd be a great series. That's the next Deepak Chopra thing.
Yeah, he would have it in the yard, just go, mow lawn. Mow lawn. Then he'd put food in front of it. Caleb, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm 32, and I would totally cry after Brady leaves. But I'm okay with that, though. I'm okay with Brady because I know he's number one, and he'll be the GOAT forever.
Okay.
But I had a question, though.
Oh, boy.
What if Brady actually does it, though? What if he goes till 45, he's MVP caliber, he wins, say, maybe one more Super Bowl, and he doesn't really have that drop-off, that cliff? What happens to TB12? What happens to his persona? Does it always, you know, does people... Do they change their mind about him? And does TB12, like, explode? You know, what if he actually beats Father Time?
I'll tell you what will happen is that I will put everything in my bank account into the TB12 market. If it's traded, that's going to make $1 gazillion. If he plays till 45 at an MVP level and he continues to say this whole TB12 thing, I don't care if I think it's, you know, concussion water and all this other stuff, and that you do drink it, you don't get sunburns. I'm investing everything into it because it's going to make $1 zillion.
So he,
and that's what he wants.
Oh, it's 100% what he wants. So he did an interview with his own TB12 website, okay? And he said two things
that jumped out to me. I want
to
hear about this.
Okay, so there are two things that jump out, and one is about the future of TB12.
Okay, real quick before we get to that, line three. Let's go to line three. Ryan, you are on Toucher and Rich.
All right, Rich, you're a dick. You got dick tendencies.
So am I a dick or do I have dick tendencies? Which one is it?
Two very different things.
I'd say a little bit of both. I'd say a little bit of both because, first of all, this could never be Cleveland, and especially not in 5 years. It takes a lot longer than that to be Cleveland. Okay. I mean, how many years have they been drafting terrible quarterbacks now?
How about this? If you took away Tom Brady right now, how many wins does this team have?
This year?
Yeah.
But it would take at least what? The Cleveland's been like that for 18 years.
Yeah.
20 years.
You know, Cleveland Browns a little drastic. Let's say you're the Bills. All of a sudden, you're the Bills.
It's a playoff team last year.
Yep.
No, but you slide right to mediocrity. You're a 500 team.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The
without
second
doubt.
He leaves.
Yeah, you may not be the Browns.
No.
But you're the Bills.
How many wins do you think they'd have if Brady announces on Facebook tomorrow he's retiring?
Okay, I still think
how
that
many
Bill
games
Belichick,
does Hoyer play and how many games does some guy off the street play? That's the difference.
Who's better, Matt Cassel or Brian Hoyer?
Right now?
No, was. When Matt Cassel.
Well, Cassel's much better than Hoyer.
He was better. The people around Matt Cassel.
Way better.
Way
better. Okay, so there's the bar, and then you got to lower it by, like, I'd say three games. They won 11 that year, I think.
Put them at eight.
Yeah, they won 11.
Yep.
They're
500.
Yeah.
You're 500.
8-8 sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
8-8
sounds right. You have dick tendencies.
That guy needs to make up his mind. Which one am I? Am I a funny dick or am I a real dick? Because I'm not a fake one, I don't think. If we want to go back to that game.
Still my favorite category.
It's the other one.
Yes, it could be. Yes, it could be. All right. We will get to the stack right after John Wallach's headlines.
95, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 a Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And Adam, you said that you had an excerpt from... So Alex Guerrero sat down with Tom Brady on the TB12 website.
So there were two things. You're an app member, right?
I do have the app, but I purchased nothing on it.
I don't think that matters. I don't have the app. So the only way to view the Guerrero and Brady chat, I think is how they termed it, is you need to be an app member to get that.
I'm an insider.
So you may be able to view that. I did not watch that. I just know that Brady sat down with Guerrero, which is odd since Brady won't answer any questions about Guerrero and storms off anytime he's asked about Alex Guerrero. It's odd that he would sit up on a stage and, you know, answer questions with him and promote him.
Well, he controls the narrative that way.
True. There's also a long Q&A, or not that long. I mean, maybe 6-7 questions, Q&A with Tom Brady, two of which jumped out to me. So
Guerrero's asking the questions to Tom Brady.
No, this is separate of that. So there is a separate chat, Brady and Guerrero, that is available for app holders. Anyone else can just go on the website, and there's this Q&A that's just Brady. It's generic questions that Brady probably handpicked or crafted. And then he answers two that jumped out to me. One, how does it feel taking the field at age 41? He said, I can see the end line now. And I've cut down some of the answer. I can see the end line now, but I still feel like I have a lot to play for and a lot left to do in my career and a lot left in the tank. It's motivating to me to finish the right way by being healthy and playing at a championship level. Okay? So he wants to finish healthy, which goes back to what you're saying. You can't go out blowing out your knee or something like that. That doesn't promote TB12. And he sounds like, hey, you know, the finish line is there, but I have a lot left in the tank. So it's that wishy-washy kind of half in, half not thing that you were talking about before. Then he's asked the final question, what's next for TB12? And this goes back to continuing to grow that brand. He said that we've just wrapped up a development of our body coach certification program. That's what they call the people who work at TB12, body coaches. We've wrapped up our development of our body coach certification program, and we're excited to start training more TB12 body coaches soon. We're also thinking through locations for our next sports therapy center, and we've got some great products coming out this year that I think everyone will love. So there are more products, more body coaches, new location.
I have a feeling that you guys are onto something, that all of this is just a... oh, I don't know if I can do it. And all of a sudden, I'm doing it. It must be TB12 products. Yep. That's I think that kind of when you
buy a bag of nuts.
Yep, buy a bag of these ranch flavored nuts that you can get for however much on the TB12 oils, which I've had, by the way, and they're absolutely delicious. I got it free with the purchase of my TB12 pliability T-shirt. So
yeah,
free nuts with the T-shirt. I am in.
That was the last time I was in here. You were rocking that shirt.
I rock it proudly.
Crunching down on nuts.
I was crunching the nuts. Absolutely. By the way, tonight. I mentioned this earlier on the show. So I'm going to the Pearl Jam show this evening, and I'm legitimately excited about it. And I wasn't as much so until I found out the songs they were playing at the one two nights ago. Because last year I saw the set list, and it was just like, hey, you never heard of this one. Hey, here's a rare cut with a hey, and this is another garbage track that you never heard before. However, it looks like this is kind of an apology tour. We're sorry we didn't play any songs that anyone knew. And now I think they played like 8 songs off the 10 album, 2 nights ago. So hopefully that means that after the first 3 albums, they're going to basically stockpile it that way. And then you can play whatever you want to. However, the thing that is kind of difficult is that my draft is tonight, the fantasy football draft.
Oh, boy.
And I've got to do it on my cell phone. And I have no idea how the cell service is at Fenway Park. Like, I have no idea whether I'm going to be locked up and it's going to basically auto-draft me and my team's going to suck. Although, to be quite honest, an auto-draft probably be better than whatever stupid technique I've got. However, when I mentioned that earlier on in the show, some guy called in and yelled at me and said that I wasn't a true fan because those songs are not dumb songs.
You gotta like everything they've ever done.
And he started screaming at me, and then somebody said that, you know, the real fans were gonna be pissed that you're drafting during the concert. And to that I say, I'm not a real fan. I am a casual fan. I like the first 3 albums, and there's no way Pearl Jam fans do not have a reputation for being a-holes. They don't. They are kind of, you know, normal. They're not one of those bands that you immediately pick out and go, okay, well, all of these people are like really stuck up. Listen, I like the band U2. U2 fans have a little bit of a reputation.
Oh, yeah.
About being a little too self-important and
Fish.
Fish fans, they don't, you know, they obviously don't shower. They're horribly annoying. Grateful Dead fans, they're all trust fund people disguised as hippies. Like, there's certain fan bases that are awful fan bases. Am I wrong in saying that Pearl Jam has a pretty good fan base? Like, one that's not they're not going to be a-holes as I'm sitting there trying to draft.
I don't think they have.
Because if they are, I want to embrace it. I want to get a shirt that says, I'm drafting my fantasy team during your
concert.
Well,
that caller earlier today has me second-guessing it a little bit, but I don't think there's like a stigma to Pearl Jam fans. I don't think. Like there are with Grateful Dead fans.
Sure.
Like there are with Dave Matthews fans. Mm-hmm. Like there are with Fish fans. I don't think there is. If there is, I don't know about it. But again, that caller earlier today has me wondering.
Somebody said, you're not drafting during the show. They're having a show during your draft. Concert on a Tuesday night, that's on them. So it's in my favorite thing is to go to an event and not pay attention just to mess with the quote true fans # Pearl Jam police. So the Pearl Jam police were on my tail earlier today, and hopefully
they were out in droves.
Yes, they were. So hopefully I'll be. I don't know what the cell phone reception's like. Somebody said I should ask Bird whether they have a special employee Wi-Fi password.
So this is what I was going to say. You're a big time media member. Like, couldn't you get on like
the media shaker headline? Man.
Couldn't you get on like the media Wi-Fi over there? Like, don't they have separate media Wi-Fi wallet for Fenway?
They do.
For
important people?
Yeah, they do. Can you get on that?
Maybe I'll put the bat signal out there.
Yeah, do that.
Anybody important listening over at Fenway? Slamming the old password so I can do the draft tonight and pay attention
and then
between
7:30
and 7 or 8 o'clock.
I think what you need to do is when you're on the clock, just be obnoxious about it. Just be like, guys, who am I taking here?
I got it down to 3.
Yeah. What do we think? Kareem Hunt, Saquon Barkley. What am I doing here? What do we think?
First
pick.
All I know is that I pissed off Pearl Jam fans this morning, or a fan. Because I said that I only wanted to hear songs off the first 3 albums. My wife likes all of them. She likes all of them. I want to hear.
So she's a true fan.
Yeah. I don't want to hear Jeremy, though. I've heard that song enough times.
Well, they play all sorts of different songs ever. That's what makes them really good.
I guess so.
Is that they change up the set. It's never the same set twice.
Well, I hope it's the same set as the other day because it was a great set. Or at least close to it. Just play State of Love and Trust and I'll be happy. All right, 617-779-0985. Oh, goodness. I see some special guests. And we'll see them in just a moment. 617-779-0985.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Tutcher and Rich.
Oh, man.
Just 9:52.
It's all about shirt leave here.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. My wife and the kids showed up with the newest member of our family. I did not want a dog. Like, I live in the city. And I'm like, I'm not walking a dog when it's snowing and I have to walk like 2 blocks in order to get him to any kind of patch of grass. And you gotta step over a bunch of like crazy people. You know, I don't want to do that. And we fostered this one Dachshund mix. He's like a year and a half old. And after 2 weeks, I just said, give me one reason not to keep this dog. And I was like, all right. And like, he doesn't do anything wrong, which I know that now that we've adopted him, he's going to become a jerk.
City living is different than having him on Nantucket, Rich.
Well, listen, he's going to just basically, put it this way. He doesn't bark. He's house trained. He doesn't shed.
He's chewing on random stuff, and he's tiny. And I have a 60-pound dog at home, and it's a little different than what you guys
have. It's all going to change. However, now it's like he's sleeping on beds and stuff like that, and I do not want a dog on my bed. And, of course, he's jumping up when I go.
How long is that going to last?
I don't know. Hey, Mary, do me a favor. Do you mind hopping on the mic for a sec? All right. I know there's just I just wanted to...
Sit in Fred's spot. He loves that.
Sure.
Sit over there.
You can sit right there. This is my wife, Mary, who you obviously, if you've listened, you know.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for bringing our rat in here.
You're welcome. He's not a rat.
He's like about as big as a rat.
Dachshund.
He can hear you. Dancing. Yes. He can hear you. Yes. Yeah. Get over here. That's
why I told you were whipped from the second I heard this was happening.
That's the spot right here. Rich was
the one who was like, no way are we keeping this dog.
Right.
Like from the get-go. He goes, let me just put it out there, guys. We are not adopting this dog. We're fostering him. Don't even think about it.
That's right.
And that's
how it happens.
Now Rich is probably the biggest wimp.
I've never had a dog that doesn't like fart or smell awful.
Well, you've owned bulldogs for 10 years straight, right?
And they're just the worst. And I had one dog that was so jacked up, its nose fell off. Like, constantly. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, the first time his nose fell off, or her nose fell off, I freaked out. Like, a big black part of, the nostril just fell on the ground. You could see it. And it looked like one of those... What do they sell? The dots? Is that what they're called at the when you go to the movies?
Candy.
The candy, the dot. Oh, it looked like a dot sitting on the ground. Or or one of those miniature chocolate chips.
Yeah.
Ugh. And I was like, oh my God. So I called the doctor. My dog's nose fell off. I said, oh yeah, put this cream on, it'll grow back. And sure enough, it'll grow back. And every 6 months, his nose would fall off. So this is the first dog I've ever had that's not jacked up or doesn't smell or anything like that. I don't know what to do with myself.
Well, that dog also had to wear diapers for the last 6 months of its life.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was our last dog experience was. Noses falling off, diapers being worn.
Diapers.
I mean, this is not a...
It took a pill that you had to put a rubber glove on to give to them or it would burn through your skin.
Ah.
So that was my dog experience. And now we've got this one who's just way too easy. So Mary, as you know, is now because of what happened at the Boston Marathon recently. Somebody from, where she finished it, she was the last finisher there. And because of that, Michelob Ultra reached out to her and said, how would you like to run on Team Ultra in the New York Marathon? So now she's going to be running that. How's your training going, Mary?
It's getting there.
2 months, right? 2 months to run?
It's hard to train when you have two little dudes, that you're with. But now that school's going back and everything, hopefully I can get my miles up and all that good stuff.
In other words, you haven't started yet.
Yeah, I can't be last two times. Only once. So I got to at least be 10th from last.
Right. You have to finish, but just not last.
Right.
Now, the best part of it is that, while she was out of town, she got home and there was this box and it was from Michelob Ultra and it said, your training stuff. So she opens it up and inside it was just a bunch of beer.
All right. I respect that. That motivates people to run.
I can get behind this sponsorship, which is nice. But, well, thank you for bringing him in.
You're welcome. Oh, happy to see you.
And the kids, too, right, Rich?
The kids, too, right, Rich?
You're happy to see them.
The kids are chopped liver now.
Jeez.
What up, dude?
He doesn't really talk. Rich is holding him up to the mic. And
he talks in my mind.
Yeah.
Hello. Scratch me right there.
He sounds like you're 70 Sam.
Oh, let me lean into your knuckle.
He's
going to
get scared, that giant black microphone.
Oh, you're my grocer. He's going to lean into that knuckle. You're the best, Daddy.
This is what happens to Rich when he's around dogs.
Yes.
He gets into this weird dog voice.
Let's ask the kids. Has he ever talked to you like that?
However,
However, here's one thing. He does have a little bit of Mississippi leg hound in him, if you know what I mean.
Oh, really?
And as they said in the movie, it's best to just let him finish.
Thanks for that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Sometimes the old lipstick makes an appearance.
Have your pet spayed or neutered.
There you go. I know.
Yeah.
Hey,
hello, yeah, that's your PSA.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's your PSA.
Thank you for bringing him up. Thank you for bringing him. He is.
Oh, you're welcome.
He's a good dog.
Mary, good to see you.
What's up, Max?
Very good to see you, Mary.
Hi, Max.
Yeah.
Hi, what's up, Hank?
See, I'm noticing the dog gets the introduction before the kids now.
Yes.
This is
priorities. Yeah. I see enough of them.
Yeah.
All right. So who do we have coming up?
I see Arcand here.
Okay, Arcand is here.
Who else? Who are you with, Christian?
I saw Flynn floating around. Flynn and Sarge.
Flynn and Sarge. Well, it's a bonanza of talent here. This is great.
Maybe we should leave you with a little bit of positivity.
Okay.
From someone who usually is not positive. Do you have it right there? Do you want to hear? You know, we'll save that for later. We'll save that for tomorrow. Do you have that? Do you have that clip? Oh, you don't. Okay. Good. Then we'll save it for tomorrow. Hi, Flynn. How are you doing, sir? What's up there, big man? What are you looking at?
Looks like you guys got matching hats.
Do we have matching hats?
Something along those lines.
Let's do the dance. What is that?
Jeez.
All right. Too visual for the radio. All right. Well, thank you for coming up, Mary. Appreciate it. Thank you, Hank. Thank you, Max. I'm going to be going home with you in a minute after I record a few things. And we'll have Christian Arcand and Mike Flynn in this morning. I'm sure they will be analyzing, like, the Zapruder film, the Tom versus Time trailer, which we did, which, once again, we have a ton of people who are saying that they are going to cry.
I have
if this is the case.
You have an update, a Wi-Fi update for you.
Oh.
The Wi-Fi update for you. I've had two writers DM me and say the media Wi-Fi at Fenway is not good. So you have to find another outlet to draft your team tonight.
See, maybe that's just, maybe they're throwing you off the scent. Maybe they're a little hot under the
collar. Joe Flacco's going to be my quarterback, isn't he?
Yes.
No, maybe they're trying to throw you off the scent for all the Lodge stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, you want to use the Lodge Wi-Fi?
I guarantee you that's the case.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's going to be the case.
It stinks, actually. You don't want it.
So I'm going to be driving my wife crazy because I'm not going to be paying attention from 7:30. You said, though, Mike, they're coming on. Pearl Jam comes on at 8, even though everyone has been saying it's 6:30. They're supposed to go on stage at 6:30. It's 8 o'clock. They're actually going on stage. Oh, Mike's on the other room. All right, well.
All right, then.
That should be fun. Appreciate it. So, we will see you out there tonight. I will be at the...
I'm a ass man!
There it is. Time to go.
All right. I'm an ass man! Thank you, Adam Jones, for coming in this morning.
Of course.
Fred will be back tomorrow. We're going to be full Voltron once again. I think we're going to be full Voltron.
What, 3 weeks? It's been a while.
Is he gone anymore?
Yeah,
I'm here until like Christmas.
No, he's got Monday and Tuesday of next week off.
Okay, all right. I want Roach in because I want Roach to read Adam Jones' tweets and then get angry about it. We need to see angry Roach in studio.
Sounds good.
All right, we have 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, bye!